on It's Supernatural. A man's car skids on an ice-covered road, careening to the edge of a cliff, teetering towards certain death. Then, a strange glow appears in front of his car and he instantly drives out. But what happens when this mysterious light enters into his car? Find out next.
Can ancient secrets of the supernatural be rediscovered? Do angels exist? Is there life after death? Are healing miracles real? Can you get supernatural help from another dimension? Has the future been written in advance? Sid Roth has spent 30 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. As we move into end times, human options will dwindle. We must learn to partner with the angels. And Ron Phillips, you're the most unlikely person to be speaking about the definitive understanding of angels, but you've had experiences with angels, especially with protection from car accidents. Tell me about one of them.
That's right. I had gone to speak on the top of a mountain, a hill in North Alabama. My wife warned me when I left the lowlands. She said, you shouldn't go. It's going to be snowing up there. But
we have to learn to listen to our wives.
So God gave me a wife warning, but he sent an angel with me. And the meeting was closed early. I came outside. An old farmer offered to help me. So God sent two and then had to send an angel. But I started down that hill in ice. And the car did a 360, and the road was narrow. There was nothing between me and about 800, 900 feet down. And the car stopped on that edge. When I tried to get the car to move, it just skidded. And I really got frightened, and I said, Lord, help me. And I heard a voice say, your angel will help you. And I kept this quiet for many years, being a Baptist. And I said, okay, angel, please help me.
Now you have to understand, this man is a Southern Baptist. He taught against speaking in unknown languages. He taught against all the charismatic gifts that they all ceased to be. So now he has an experience, but you haven't even heard it yet, but I've heard it, so you better let them hear it.
Yeah, God was beginning to shake my tree, so to speak. And so all of a sudden I saw a glow out on the right front fin of the car. It turned, it righted itself on the road. It never slipped again. And nearly down there, the glow moved from there to almost a glowing figure sitting in the car with me. And I thought, thank you, God, or I'm losing my mind. I mean, I get to the mountain, and it's at Interstate 59 in North Alabama, and they barricaded so no one can go up that road. And there's a state trooper there, and he sees me coming. I'm the only nut coming down the road. He says, how did you get off that, out of that ice? And I said, well, God helped me. And he said, well, you be safe going home. And then he looked in the car and said, y'all be safe.
But you were alone.
I was alone. He saw the angel.
Now that is confirmation. when a lawman speaks
Absolutely.
To two people.
I was stunned, Sid, driving the rest of the way home. But it was the beginning of 10 or 12 years of God's efforts to pull an old ultra-fundamentalist guy that believed all the gifts had ceased and that God didn't really speak today, that we have the Bible. And
okay, 1989, yes. A woman speaks. Something about that woman got to you deep, and you go to your room that night, and what happened?
I was in my room about midnight. I heard my name called audibly. Now, this wasn't supposed to happen. It was like that angel thing.
But it's in the Bible, but
sure.
You thought it ceased.
Yeah, but just like Eli told Samuel, after the third time I was awakened by this voice calling my first name, I said, speak, Lord, your servant here. And God began to speak to me, and he told me clearly, and he told me in English. He said, read your Psalms for today. It was the 19th day of the month. I read Psalm 91 to 95. The first is about the secret place. And then I got to Psalm 92:10, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He hit me like a bolt of lightning, like an earthquake. I shook. I went out. I didn't know anything about being slain in the Spirit, or what the New Testament calls ecstasias, ecstasy. But I'd gone into this, and I woke up 3 hours later, and there was something pouring out of me. I learned later was tongues. I didn't think was supposed to be happening, but it was.
The thing that he used to speak against, yeah. He's now speaking in a supernatural language that he's never been taught.
But immediately when I got conscious, I stopped. And I didn't try to do it anymore. Even though I knew some people, charismatics that were already in my church, walked up to me grinning. And I didn't say a word and said, something's happened to you, hadn't it? And Phil Driscoll, the trumpeter,
yes.
He came to do a meeting and he pulled me aside and he said, take your time telling this story and you won't split your church. And that's true. We had some people leave across the years, but I'm one of the few that's, it's still a Baptist church, but charismatic, and that we're still.
But wait. Yeah. I know what charismatic churches are.
Yeah.
Yours is not charismatic. You left charismatic years ago. You are in the stratosphere. I mean, he literally has an angel that is right next to him when he speaks. And as a matter of fact, as you were talking about angels right now, I have to tell you, I actually started shaking. Yeah. There must be an angel in this studio.
There are angels here. There's one behind me who goes with me. You know, the Bible, God said, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And when David said, surely goodness and mercy follow me, you know, I believe that the angels are before us to prepare our way, but they're also behind us. They're our rear guard. And Hebrews 1:14, Sid, says that God sent the angels to be servants, ministers unto all those who are heirs of salvation, as a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Listen, when the human being, before he becomes to Christ, is made a little lower than the angels. But when you come to Christ, you move from that realm into being a joint heir with Jesus Christ. At that moment, the same angels that served our Lord in His earthly body to strengthen Him now come around His new body, the church, to serve us.
Now, you understand angels like few people that I know. He understands the Scriptures. He's a scholar of the Greek. And he has put together the most biblical understanding of how to partner with the angels. And Ron, that was a quote of yours that I said earlier. We must learn how to partner with the angels. Be right back after this word and look very carefully. You may just see an angel.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Ron Phillips. And during the commercial break, Ron, you started laughing. Why?
The joy angel's here. He's on the right here. And the anointing of joy comes. This started in our church really about 91.
You must have gone up to Toronto or
no.
Rodney Howard Brown.
No.
No?
No, it was years later I met those men, and not to Brownsville. I preached at Brownsville toward the end of the Brownsville Awakening. But
so this was just a sovereign thing that happened at your church?
Yeah, and see, we had people fall out in the Spirit. We didn't have catchers because we didn't know you're supposed to have one. we everything that's happened in the manifestation of the Holy Spirit happened. And I was such a legalist that I wrote a book called Awakened by the Spirit, where I chronicled every manifestation of the Spirit from Scripture and from church history, that this wasn't new. These weren't new things that were going on.
Now tell me about this joy angel.
Yeah.
He's like is he at every service?
Every service.
And he's at a particular spot, and when people walk to that spot, what happens?
They get tickled. We had a young lady from Lee University, because this angel just dominates the right side of the building as I face the audience on my right. And we had four young ladies, Church of God girls, that joined our church from Lee University. They're from out of town, just started. And this little girl with very curly hair, she came up and she just started laughing. And I said, "What's going on?" She said, "Something touched me on the back, and I knew that angel was there." And that was the first week she came. So last week she comes back and joins her and four of the friends. And the minute she walked, they're on the right. I always have the visitors come and gather on the right side because I don't want them to be sad when they leave a service at our church. And without fail, there's just a happiness there and a joy there that comes.
Now, another thing that intrigues me about him is he understands how important worship is.
Yes.
But in his congregation, he hears his congregation worship, but what else do you hear?
We hear the angels saying, many people, where Paul said, "I will sing with the understanding, but I will sing with the Spirit." And then Ephesians 5:18, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." When we begin to move beyond the page or the notes printed on the wall and the songs that we have planned to sing, God begins to introduce His rhythms and music into our hearts and into our spirits. And you will hear it almost like a Gregorian chant just begin to wave across the congregation.
You literally hear the angels worshiping.
I hear it. It sounds like music and water running at the same time.
Let me ask you this, because I have seen some angels. I sense their presence. But I have friends that see angels, and they say that when someone has a personal angel, that angel just walks around them as they're speaking. Or if
someone's dancing
in worship, you see the angels in a circle around the people doing the same thing?
I believe that, yes, with all my heart. There's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. And so the angels that are with us, we talk about there's joy in heaven, but it says joy in the presence of the angels. It doesn't say heaven there in that particular verse. So when the church is worshiping, when the word's going forth in power, and the angels obey the word, Psalm 103:21 says they hearken to the voice of His word, King James Version, or it really the Hebrew is, and you know this, it is as the word is voiced, the angels respond to that word. So when we're walking in God, and when people are repenting, the angels take joy. And so they enjoy the worship with us. They take joy when the change comes, because these angels are older than time, and they saw what rebellion did to that one third of their host. They don't want that to happen to us or again, and they take joy when we make the right move.
Now, many of my friends tell me there is a great increase in the number of angels interacting with humans today.
It is tremendous. It's huge. If you, and I challenge you, Sid, the next time you go in to talk about the Messiah, ask your congregation how many of you feel like you've been protected or had access or had interaction with angels. A few years ago, you might have got a tenth of the people. It'll be the majority today in most Spirit-filled congregations, and even in the evangelical world, because I still preach across the lines into that world, I find the activity enormous, just tremendous.
But there's a flip side.
Yep.
There is an increase in activity of the demonic. And one thing I find very interesting to me is after you had this encounter with this being filled with the Spirit of God, speaking in a supernatural language, you went out and you cast demons out of people. Would you ever in your wildest imagination have thought you'd do
that? Didn't want to. I was minding my own business at my church and got a call from the hospital. From the head, a Presbyterian guy who was a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and he said, "Would you come down here? We have one of your members." Two of her friends had committed suicide, and they'd gotten into a witchcraft pact to kill themselves, and she didn't do it, but she planned to do it in the hospital, and they wanted me to come down there. Well, I didn't know what I was doing, so I got a friend, a Pentecostal friend, and another staff member to go with me. We sat down in the room, and a man's voice came out of this woman's mouth cursing me. And so we just took authority like Jesus. We cast 13 demons out of her.
But you didn't even think this was possible. How did you do that?
It's just the power of God.
I'll tell you what, talk about the power of God. You're going to really see the power of God when we come back after this break, because Ron heard from God a particular way to pray for you. Yes, for you. We'll be right back in a moment.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Ron Phillips. And Ron, you told me just before you published your new book, you had a visitation from an angel. And this angel identified himself. What was his name?
His name was Noble.
And tell me what he looked like in the circumstances.
He was tall, had a dark, I think a Middle Eastern look to him, Jewish. Even though you're not that dark,
Polish side of my family.
I see. And a golden hair, and he had to bend his head over under a 9-foot ceiling. And you and I talked about this, and somebody said, was it a dream? Well, if it was a dream, it got me down to my study down the next floor because he asked me to go down there. And that's when he told me they were going to defend my reputation, that we'd been attacked, called a cult, that, you know, in my own denomination and other things, that was over. And that a season of favor had come, and he'd come to bring that season of favor. And right before he left, he said, my name is Noble. And I want to tell you, when you have a manifestation that strong, you don't feel tired. When they're around you, it's like you've been plugged into something. That's the only way I can explain it. There was an alertness that came up on me, and...
Ron, give us a few clues of how to activate angels.
First of all, angels are activated by faith. When the children of Israel were crossing Egypt, an angel went before them because they believed they were going somewhere. That's one. Number two is the Word of God. You could say to this mountain, when you speak to the difficulties in your life by faith, glory to God, and somebody needs to do that today, angels immediately respond to the obedient, repentant believer who speaks forth the word and the promises of God.
There's probably nothing stronger.
Nothing stronger than that. And by the way, on the contrary, your wrong words, and you can go to Ecclesiastes, he said, don't tell the angel you didn't mean to say it. I mean, the book of Ecclesiastes says the angels will destroy the works of your hands. And some of you got up this morning and said, I'm sick or something. And the devil heard it and demons heard it. And the angels heard it. And you need to be careful what comes out of your mouth. Let the promises of God, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And let the right words come out. Three is prayer. When you go to the book of Revelation 5, Revelation 8, the altar of incense where the angels are, it represents in the ancient temple tabernacle, you know this, the prayers of the saints. And it said the angels convey our prayers in their hands to the Father. So we don't pray to angels. The Colossian church got into that heresy and had to be corrected. We pray to the Lord Jesus, our Messiah, to Yahweh, our God, and our Heavenly Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And since our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, when the word and worship and prayer begin to roll out of our spirit, angels begin to move just like they did when Isaiah was in the Holy of Holies, because there's no veil between us now. And the glory to God, I feel them here right now. The angels will begin to move and stir and cry holy, and they're activated that way in your life. And finally, something I discovered after I was filled with the Holy Spirit, they move on miracle ground where kingdom operation is going on. So though I speak with the tongues of men or of angels, their tongues, their dialects, the heavenly language, the prayer language, that's just one part of it. But when we begin to believe in the supernatural, they show up because they're not interested in unbelief. They're not interested in rebellion. They're not interested in the gossip and the wrong words of men, but they love the Messiah. They gathered, they strengthened him, they love him. And when we love him and when we walk with him, they operate in our lives.
Now, for everyone, and you can do this right now if you haven't, that has told God they're sorry for their sins and believe the blood of Yeshua, the blood of Jesus, washes away their sins.
Yes, hallelujah.
And then asks the Messiah to live inside of them and become their Lord. Ron is going to briefly pray a supernatural prayer for you right now, that you be as filled with the Spirit of God as he is. And you will, by the way, be able to speak in supernatural languages.
That's right.
Would you?
Yes, right now, bow your head. With the Heavenly Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, the name of our Messiah, the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, the one that fills us, the one that gives us, I ask right now, Lord, that the supernatural presence come into the room by everyone who's watching. And Father, I pray that the angelic activity will begin to whirl around about them. They'll sense your powerful presence. And Lord, I pray right now that you will fill them with the Holy Spirit of the living God. Let them confess out of your mouth right now, say, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Say right now, there are angels operating in the temple of my life.
There are angels operating in the temple of my life.
Yes, right now. And so, Lord, right now, I ask that you command these angels to bring in my harvest, to help me in my healing, to give me direction, to protect the resources that are behind me and before me, and Lord, to help them to walk before me in all the ways of my life. Now, right now, I believe some of you are receiving. See, the prayer language is tongues of men and of angels. God could give you a dialect that's on the earth. He could give you a dialect or both. But he is going to give you a supernatural language that will build you up, that will strengthen you. You say, well, how can I do that, Pastor Ron? God's not going to jerk your mouth. You have to move your lips, but the utterance will come out of your spirit. The Spirit will give you utterance. Just begin to move. It'll sound a little strange, but the flow will begin, and it's happening for some of them. And Lord, also, the fruit of the Spirit is love, yes, but joy. Let the joy angels begin to come around, and let the bells ring. Let the music begin in the heart of someone right now. Let them know the Holy Spirit's with them, but also angels are with them. They're not alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I don't know what's happening to you, but I can tell you what's happening to me. There is such presence of God that my body can't take it. It's literally trembling. As a matter of fact, Ron, I'm not sure why this happens, but many times when the presence of God gets this strong, my lips start to tremble.
Oh yes.
Maybe I'm supposed to be speaking in supernatural languages.
With trembling lips and stammering tongue, I will speak to this people. The prophecy in Isaiah, quoted in 1 Corinthians 14, and he says, this is the rest with which I will rest you. And angels want us to rest. And tongues brings rest to your spirit. Angels bring strength and rest to your life. In fact, that word serve, that they're sent to serve you,
yes,
comes from two Greek words, laos, ergon, people, work. And ergon is to make work easier. Ergonomics makes things more comfortable. Angels are here to help you work smarter, to take the weariness out of your life, to add joy to it. And, you know, I've always got a grin on my face because I don't care where I am. I'm never alone.
You know what? I believe this angel by the name of Noble that has come to visit you and has turned the gossip and the disfavor into favor.
That's right.
I believe that there are many people that are watching us right
That's
now
right.
that these angels are going to turn
That's
your
right.
life around.
That's right.
Just like Ron's has been turned around with favor. I love the name of that angel, Noble.
That was the shocking thing because no angel has ever told me their name. And I was afraid to almost say that, but it's such a powerful thing that there is a nobility to those of us who have Jesus as our Messiah. We're not junk. We're not the accident of evolution. We're not throwaway. We're a part of an eternal plan. And these beings who live before time know
and they're
that.
Ready to flood
yes.
and invade your home
yes.
right now.
Right now.